Welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training, and today's topic will be on ACA reporting requirements, what you need to know. So, Shelley, it is a new year, and that means reporting time again for employers. Can you remind us about the process?
Yes, Jim. Well, thank you for having me. And regarding the reporting, we're, of course, talking about the 1095 and 1094 reporting, and there are B forms and C forms. The C forms are for employers that are called an ALE, an applicable large employer, that has 50 or more full-time, full-time equivalent employees. They're required to do an annual report to each of their full-time employees. They're also required to take copies of those 1095Cs and file them to the IRS with a 1094C. Also, for the smaller groups, if you're level funded or self-funded, you have to do a report. It's a 1095B report to your employees and a 1094B report to the federal government. So every year, people think about doing this in January. This year, they gave us an extension because they took a long time to get the forms out. And when they finally did, they said, you know, we're going to give you extra time. So everybody's working on them now. It's a good time for us to be talking about this.
So there are extensions for reporting this year. Can you go over those dates?
Yes, the extensions, it is an extension of the period of time for an employer to get the forms to the employee. So you have until March 2nd of 2020 to get the 1095C or the 1095B form to your employees.
Now, the individual mandate is zero for the 2019 tax year. What changes will an individual see when filing their 2019 tax return?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up about the individual mandate because that is a big change this year when you're filing your federal tax returns. You no longer have to check that box on your tax return that says, yes, I and my family have insurance for the whole year. President Trump changed with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and he took away the individual mandate. So there is no longer a penalty at the federal level for someone who doesn't have insurance. It's no longer an issue. However, there are some changes at the state level, but it's no longer there at the federal level.
Now, will the carrier still be sending out the 1095B forms to all this year?
And that's another change that happened because the individual mandate went away. Insurance carriers are still required to report to the federal government who they insured over the course of the year. So if you think about any particular carrier, you can imagine that there's hundreds of thousands of these 1095B forms that they generate. In the past, the carriers have always sent those 1095B forms to the participant. So Jim Scott, if you are insured by Independence Blue Cross, then you would get a 1095B form from IBC showing you the months of the year that you were covered. They are not required to send that to you this year, Jim. If you want a copy, and you can call the customer service team and say, I'd like to get a copy. Otherwise, there are some carriers who won't be sending out the 1095B forms to the participants. There are others that are going to continue to do that, and they're now beginning to identify by each carrier, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do it. But this is just a general notice out there to anyone. If you don't get one from the insurance carrier by March 2nd and you want one for your tax records, you need to call the customer service area and request your 1095B form and they will get it to you.
Now, there is often a concern or confusion if an employer has a small group self-funded or level-funded plan. What do they need to do?
So from the small group, level funded, self-funded, as you said, it's an employer group that's under 50, but because they are level funded or self-funded, they need to complete this 1095B form. That's what the federal government says. That's what the ACA regulations say. In the past years, there have been carriers that have said, no need for you to do it because, as I just explained, the insurance carrier is sending it in anyway. So IBC could say, I'm going to send these forms in. Jim, you're the employer, you don't have to send it in. The problem with that is, first of all, you don't have a record, and IBC is not going to pull just the 16 employees that you have and give you those forms. They can't do that with the hundreds of thousands that they're sending in. So you don't have a record. If you ever need to prove this, you can't. And then there's an ongoing issue now with having to report to different states. So employers may be told by their carrier that the carrier is going to send it in, and if they're okay with that, then that's fine. But for other employers that want to know that they've done it and have a copy of it, they should complete their own 1095B forms. And in all of this stuff that we're talking about, we have bulletins and education pieces to help the employers. If you need to know how to fill out a 1095B form, we have a video that we can tell you how to do that. If you're concerned about the due dates that we talked about at the beginning, we have a bulletin that will explain the dates and what you have to do based on your size of group.
There are some states that have the individual mandate. Can you review the states for this year and those for 2020? Can you also tell us what the employer needs to do for employees they have in each of those individual mandate states?
I sure can. So, as I said, the individual mandate went away for 2019 at the federal level, but there were a few states that said, you know what, we want our residents to have insurance. Now, it's always been that way in Massachusetts. If you remember back to 2007, Massachusetts had their Connector program, which became what we know as the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. So for anybody that lives in Massachusetts, you have to show proof of insurance on your tax return. Employers also have to report on employees, residents of Massachusetts. What's new is the District of Columbia and New Jersey. So both of those are in this mid-Atlantic region and very close to the states that we operate in. So if you have employees that live in D.C. or employees that live in New Jersey and Massachusetts, you are required as an employer to send at least a copy of your 1095C or your 1095B form to that specific state to show that there is proof of coverage. New Jersey specifically, you're going to send to the Division of Revenue and Enterprise Services. If you use a vendor, a third-party administrator, a payroll company that does the forms for you, you'll want to make sure that they are going to do the remittance to New Jersey as well. So New Jersey or DC, if you are a Pennsylvania or a New York or a New Jersey employer, but you have employees in other states, you want to make sure that you are properly remitting. And again, we do have specific bulletins about Massachusetts, DC, and New Jersey, and you can always contact your account manager or account executive if you need additional guidance.
Awesome. Now, is there any additional information you'd like to share with us?
Well, I've been talking about these bulletins, and I think it's important to say that it does lay out very easily what the employer has to do and then also what the employer has to give to the IRS. And we talked about extensions for the employer to get the forms to the employees. However, there is no extension for the employer to get these forms to the IRS. So if you are an employer and you have 250 or more W-2s that you issue and also 250 or more 1095Cs that you issue, you must do the reporting to the IRS electronically. If you have fewer than 250, you can send it in by paper. The paper deadline is February 28th to get your 1094C or your 1094B in. So you need to pay attention to those requirements because you have until March 2nd to get the forms out to your employees, but you have to mail it into the federal government by February 28th. And I also caution all the employer groups that are filing or have a vendor filing for them, please make sure you follow all the instructions specifically electronically. There is a way that you need to send the forms in landscape format, not in portrait format. The IRS is continuing to return a lot of those forms because they weren't sent in properly. They are penalizing employers. I saw a lot of penalties last year that came out because of failure to follow the instructions, as well as failure to file them in a timely fashion. So if you need to have these in by February 28th and you don't get them in until April 15th, you're late and you're likely going to get a bill from the IRS that says you were 30 days late in your filing, so you're going to pay this penalty for each employee's form. It does add up, and it's hard to get out of those penalties because it's just a failure to follow instructions. So if you need a copy of these bulletins that we're talking about, definitely talk with your account manager or your account executive. And as always, they will contact me if you say that you have a question or concern about filling out any of these forms, the 1095 forms, the 1094 forms. I'm very versed in all of that, and I can help you pick codes and know what you need to fill in.
Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Also, I would like to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson.